Through the help of our Heavenly Father and in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I desire that we read from Genesis chapter 8, from the beginning of this chapter, 14 verses. Let us read with the help of the Lord. Genesis chapter 8. And God remembered Noah and every living thing, and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the water a sea. The fountains also of the deep, and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of the 150 days the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass at the end of 4 years that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her, and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, was the earth dried. This far I desire that we read in our first reading this morning through the help of our Heavenly Father. And now, in our desire to worship the Lord with praise, thanksgiving, and gratitude from our hearts for His goodness and mercy, let us kneel down and pray together. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we desire to thank Thee, for Thy great goodness and mercy, and for this holy word of Thine, the true and faithful record of the wonderful and glorious deeds of Thy righteous judgments, of Thy grace and mercy, of the holy covenant of the Redeemer that was to come, that did come and completed the work necessary for our salvation. Gracious Lord, Lord God Almighty, Thou art revealing in the Holy Scriptures that there is no value no money, no riches in this world that could pay the salvation of one single soul. Therefore, O Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee to worship Thee with gratitude and praise to Thy great and holy name. For Thou hast opened the heavenly portals, and in Christ Thy Holy Son, our blessed Redeemer, Thou hast descended from the heavenly glory to this earth that was shrouded in darkness. This earth, O Heavenly Father, that has already been soaked with the blood of Thy saints. Not only that, O Lord, in Christ Thou hast revealed the way of salvation. In Christ Thou hast opened to us the door of life everlasting. And in Him Thou hast revealed the perfect obedience, heavenly love displayed in the life of a man, in the flesh that is similar to ours, in suffering and patience, in sadness and in tears, in prayers and praises, in words and in deeds, and in every thought of his mind. O Lord God Almighty, the glory and majesty of thy glorious name was radiating from the teaching and from the example of him, thy beloved Son, in whom thou art well pleased. Our gracious Redeemer, the only name in heaven and under heaven given to the mankind unto salvation. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we now pray that thou grant us to worship thee in spirit and in truth, to worship thee with gratitude and love, with love and zeal, with zeal and wisdom from heaven, to worship thee, O Lord God Almighty, in peace of a conscience purged from sin, washed with the precious blood of the Lamb of God. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that thou grant us the privilege and the power and the blessing of worshiping thee in the humility of our souls. For we are humbled by the grace and goodness, that stream of living water coming from the throne on high, descending down through the world of thine into these weak hearts of ours as we are praying and seeking thy guidance, thy instruction, thy revelation, and thy zeal to do thy will. Glorious and loving Heavenly Father, not only thou hast sent thy Holy Son to this earth to be despised and rejected, to be betrayed and forsaken, to be condemned and tortured, to be crucified, but thou hast also done what was a great mystery since the beginning. That great mystery of the salvation of the mankind. O Lord God Almighty, our loving Heavenly Father, thou hast placed upon the shoulders of thy beloved one the load of our sins and transgressions, and the rod of thy divine justice did struck him for our sake. Thou hast done the miracle revealing the power way beyond the limits of our understanding. When the Creator of life was dying on the cross, and the one that was perfectly holy, pure and righteous receiving the judgment that we, the sinners, have deserved. But thou hast also revealed to us, O Lord, in that awesome and awful sacrifice, that through suffering led the path to eternal glory, through death the way of life everlasting. And in thy glorious resurrection, O Lord, thou hast manifested that the bars of hell and death are broken. And in thy victory, O Lord, is the joy of our souls. And our longing is to the glorious day of thy return. Holy Father, we look up unto thee and we pray. Grant us thy presence, thy guidance and thy instruction today. Lead us thou and teach us thou to follow thy guidance. Watch over us thou, Lord, and protect us thou. Keep the enemy away. Keep our souls in thy grace. And continually thou purify our hearts. O Heavenly Father, gracious and loving Lord, forgive us our many weaknesses, shortcomings, mistakes, every disobedience. Purify our inner man and make our soul free in Christ. And then, O Lord, grant us a heart filled with thy love and compassion, thy love and understanding, thy love and self-denial, thy love that makes the true faith to work in charity, in good deeds. And grant us, O Lord, peace of thy forgiveness and joy of thy salvation. Make our heart anew the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, Teacher, and Corrector. And thou, O Heavenly Father, rule our lives and make us thy beloved children, children of thy covenant in Christ. And also, Lord, make us loving and forgiving, and also make us firm and strong, that all that we do, we may do in the name of Christ, worshipping thee, our Heavenly Father, continually. Holy Father, we pray that thou graciously forgive those that trespass against us, and that thou, Lord God, our Heavenly Father, turn their hearts to thee, that they also may have that blessed peace, peace that passeth human understanding, that they also may experience, maybe some of them first time and the others again, the joy of thy salvation. And thou, Lord, in these last days, bless thy holy word and make it powerful, that thy word, O Father, may sound forth and move the hearts that are dead in sin and transgression, that thy Spirit may generate new life, and that thy people may be in that complete full number on the day of thy return. Gracious Lord, make us faithful witnesses and pilgrims that have forsaken the city of Babylon, the city of confusion, the domain of death. Make us thy faithful soldiers that are running into the battle by the power of thy Spirit, walking and living in Christ, being dead to sin and evil, and alive by thy Spirit of life dwelling in our hearts. O gracious Lord, thy treasures are unsearchable. May the gift of that precious new life in Christ be still given in abundant measure in these last days to those that thou hast redeemed in Christ. Thou grant true repentance, full conversion, victory over sin and death, new life in Christ, full dedication to this high calling, O Lord, peace and joy forevermore. O Lord God Almighty, we are longing for that day and moment when thou wilt call that last call, when the last trumpet will sound, when the heavens will roll away like a book, like a scroll, when the elements of this universe will be melted, when the glory of thy return will fill the universe again. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, as long as we are pilgrims through this valley of the shadow of death, thou, O Father, make this valley a fruitful field of thy service. Lead us thou and teach us thou. Keep us in thy grace, keep us in Christ, and bless us that we grow and bring forth the blessed fruit of faith, love and hope, true godliness. O gracious Lord, we pray and we praise thee within the limits of our understanding and in great weakness of our weak hearts. But thou, O Father, accept our small and weak offering, for we offer that in the name of the Savior. Glory, glory and honor, worship and praise be to thee forever. Amen. Again, with the help of our Heavenly Father and in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I desire that we continue our reading, Genesis chapter 8, on the verse 15 to the end of this chapter. Genesis 8, 15. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living, as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. This far are the verses of this chapter 8, the first book of the Holy Scripture. Perhaps it's not something new for any one of us that Genesis means creation. The first book of the Bible, and yet was not chapter 7 the destruction? And what was created in the destruction of the first world? Again, ever since the beginning of the mankind living after the fall of Adam, it seems to me, beloved, that there is not going to be another creation without the destruction of that that has been marred, damaged, ruined. As the Lord God Almighty said to Adam, thou art dust, and to dust shalt thou return. So, the first world being polluted with sin, with the filth and corruption of the mankind, became dust and returned to dust. Perhaps someone could say, for mud you are, and to mud you shall return. So they perished in the flood. I wonder, beloved, if we could see in these chapters, chapter 7 and chapter 8, some resemblance of the creation of the new life in Christ. I think, beloved, that none of the human race will ever truly turn to the Lord without being fully aware how awful the judgments of God are, how just and how firm. We see when everything was prepared and Noah and his family were in the ark, and God shut them in. God closed the door. No one else could enter into the ark after that. But those that were secured in the faith and obedience to the Lord, they remained in safe in the ark. And then the change started. And that awful flood destroyed the earth. And Noah and his family watched what was going on. So today, when a heart, a human heart, heeds the calling of the Lord, before that soul is revealed the doom of sinful humanity, the way that through sin leads to death and through death to hell, and so to suffering on and on. And when a man received that revelation, then there is a great desire to escape. Who would ever like to go to hell? And then, when a man tried, when that soul made the first move, the first struggle started to escape from death and hell, to battle against sin, then we realize how weak, inadequate, unable we are, just as a man that is deeply stuck in mud and cannot pull himself out. There had to be someone else to remove us from death, to deliver us from our sins. And that salvation, as free and abundant as it is, was not without price. It was paid with an awful price. But God in His wisdom knew that that salvation is worth that price. So He paid for our salvation. And now in this chapter 8, and perhaps in the first part of the following chapter, we can see the beginning of new life in a new world. But we can see also that some very precise moments have been recorded, and the time is recorded in the scripture, probably indicating that God has a program and no power of the enemy will ever prevent the fulfillment of the will of the Lord. We hear that the flood is in its decreasing and then later on diminishing from off the face of the earth. We see here that the waters returned from off the earth continually. First stagnation of the flood and then decrease. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated, and the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. Does this somehow remind us on the beginning of our faith? When we first experienced the fact, the truth, that God is listening, hearing our prayers, and answering and helping. The ark rested upon that mountain, and so our faith, our trust, our confidence rested on the rock of ages, the mountain of our salvation. When we first time realized that, some new awareness, new peace, something that was not known to us before, came into our hearts. Perhaps at that moment we did not know if that peace is going to be deep and stable for just a moment. Perhaps some of us didn't even have time to think about that. But there was a change, the first change, the first awareness. God is helping. He is willing to save us. And the waters decreased continually until the tenth month. In the tenth month, when we start seeing the Word of God more clearly, first, we don't see the smallest details. We don't understand every word that we find in the Scripture, but we do understand that God is the Creator, that Christ is the Savior, that the Spirit of God is everywhere, wherever there is a heart seeking the way of salvation. The peaks of the mountains were seen, the tops of the mountains. And then we read further that it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. Perhaps the number is reminding us that the sons of Israel, children of Israel, journeyed 40 years. At the end of 40 years, Moses went up into a high mountain to see the promised land that he was not going to enter into. And then after that, he entered into the promised land that no human eye has seen on the face of this earth. The journey is going on for those that seek the Lord, and there is a lot of work to be done. We see that after Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. What kind of a bird is a raven? We see them around here a lot, don't we? They are cleaning what is dead, old, destroyed. Remember the words of John the Baptist? By the end of that short but so powerful sermon of that teaching, that the rough ways become smooth. The old world was dead, but perhaps in some places there were some remnants, still some residue or some marks that reminded the inhabitants of the new world about that old and destroyed world of sinners. So raven was sent first, and then afterward the signs
of the beginning of new life are marked here and recorded, that the dove brought forth an olive leaf as she returned back. Somehow, beloved, I would like to understand this that relationship between Noah and the creatures that were in the ark, and how he felt, what was his attitude in this whole task of preparing first the salvation of his home, his family, and then preparing for the new life in the new world. What was that experience? Perhaps we see something here. The dove, in the verse 9, found no rest for the sole of her foot, and returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. And then Noah put forth his hand and took her in, and pulled her in unto him into the ark. I think it's so gentle and so kind. And perhaps we should do the same whenever there is a soul standing by the entrance into the ark of the covenant of Christ. We should offer a helping hand. We should be able to share the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And there should be a refuge place in the arms of our Redeemer. And I think that this duty of Christians to point to the Savior, to embrace the souls that need salvation, that spiritual work gives a deep and valuable meaning to our journey, to our pilgrimage, to our living in Christ. So it came to pass in the verse number 12, after another 7 days, I think this was the end of the third week since the window of the ark was opened, Noah sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. Now, to us, being human and limited, it may, this verse 12 may have a tone of sadness. This dove and all the other creatures, and especially the family of Noah, they went from death to life through the flood. And now is the moment for departure. And the dove left and never came back. Is that sad? Perhaps so, at the moment, at that moment. But then let's think about the purpose of the Lord in all of that. As the dove went forth, that was a sign that the new life is beginning on this earth. When we think about Philip walking through the desert, and coming closer to a chariot, and hearing the voice of the Spirit of the Lord saying, join that caravan. And as Philip came close, the man on the chariot was reading the book of the prophet Isaiah about the Lamb of God, about the sacrifice of a Redeemer, despised and rejected, silently enduring torture and death. And Philip, apparently without an introduction, without saying, I'm Philip, I'm a deacon and here are my credentials and I'd like to talk to you for a moment or something of that sort, no. Philip said, understandest thou what thou readest? Or do you understand what you are reading? And the eunuch of the Queen of East did not answer to Philip, well, who are you all of a sudden? Or who do you think you are? But he said, how can I understand if someone is not going to tell me that, the meaning? So Philip told him the meaning. Can we do the same? Can we share the meaning of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with those around us and with the others that are far away? Can we pray and strive that our life be a true example, Christian testimony, resembling at least a little, but every day a little bit more, the life of Christ, just to please the Father and serve Him alone? So, as Philip preached the gospel to the eunuch, they came to a place where there was some water, and the eunuch said, behold, there is some water. Is there anything in the way that I can be baptized? And Philip answered, what is the way? And that on that way, there are no obstacles, no barriers. If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest be baptized. And the true sincere faith in the hearts of eunuch was confirmed or proclaimed in his own words, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So they went down to the water and Philip baptized him. And then they saw one another no more. Philip went on serving the Lord, and the eunuch went on his way to that far country, rejoicing in the grace, in the salvation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Did I sit down for a while and weep? Because just after sharing that abundance of the love and grace and goodness of the Lord, they have to part from one another. I believe, beloved, that they parted with a firm hope that soon they will meet again in the glory of the Lamb of God. in the kingdom that will never cease. So we read further here that it came to pass in the 601st year, first month, first day, the waters were dried up from off the earth. The old world is gone forever. The new life has begun. That's the new year. The new year of goodness and love of our Lord. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. How different the earth must have been. No big cities, no markets of vanity, no places where sinners entertain themselves with corruption. The earth was pure. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, was the earth dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. You see, God did not forget anyone. And we, being the children of the Lord, also should not forget one another. Every soul is precious in the sight of our Heavenly Father. And then the Lord did not forget the rest of the other creatures. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all the flesh. Of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. See, the plain, natural, innocent biological processes were not hidden from man. It was not something that they would be embarrassed of talking about, as long as they don't do it in a sinful, corrupted way. All that God has created and all that He has blessed is good in the sight of the Lord. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. And all the creatures went forth out of the ark. And what was the first thing that Noah did? As they started the new life in a new earth, not a house for living, not even a tent. The first building, the first effort in the new life, Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and he took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. You see, those are the marks of true devotions. Those that are truly and really saved, their first desire and first effort in the new life is to serve and worship the Lord. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. now so far that has been fulfilled. But what is the meaning of that to us? What shall we understand from this, beloved? Did this promise help to any one of those that did not build the ark? Did this grace of God and the abundance of His blessings improve the position and the situation of those that died in the flood? Oh no. God's goodness and grace does not support sin. It's given unto salvation. This promise was to those that were faithful to the Lord. But then, when we read this last verse, verse 22, the closing verse of chapter 8, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Once we received and experienced the grace of salvation and new life in Christ, let us not sleep assured. We should rest assured in Christ. But again, we should labor in Christ and in spirit. Let's not think, well, God has taken care of everything so that I can be a lazy dreamer. No. The Lord wants us to rejoice in His grace, but also to grow in the Spirit, to walk in Christ and serve Him. And in that, beloved, is the beginning of this chapter 9, just following. And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So all those that live in Christ will be blessed. And will be blessed abundantly with the fellowship of His Holy Spirit, with the abiding grace of our Lord in this life. Of course, the blessings that we experience in this life are not physically, materially identical for everyone. The blessings may range from the number that was converted during Noah's preaching to the number that were converted in the days of apostolic teaching. The path of our pilgrimage, or should I say the mode of our testimony, can vary from the activity of the Apostle Paul to the activity of Lazarus the beggar, dying in sickness and starvation. But beloved, being in the grace of God and in the covenant of Christ in this life until the end of our pilgrimage always has only one transition, and that is peace and joy, glory and happiness in the kingdom of God. This kingdom, beloved, as I desire to my weak soul, may the Lord grant to all that are His, and even to all the others that He will bring to Christ, and to our Heavenly Father for His goodness and mercy, for His patience and loving kindness, for the salvation in Christ. Glory and honor forevermore. Amen.